Welcome to the first ever episode of Brains Not Barriers, the podcast where we break down educational barriers to unlock human potential. I'm your host, Victoria, and each week we dive into conversations and stories that inspire us to think beyond limits and break down barriers. Let's get started. So today I am thrilled to welcome Daniela, a grade 12 student from Lormont School, and she's here to share her journey navigating learning with ADHD and anxiety. So welcome, Daniela. Glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity.
Thank you for joining. So let's dive right in. Daniela, I'd love to start with a couple of questions for you.
Okay, perfect. I'm ready.
What is the utmost surprising or interesting thing that you've learned recently that completely changed your perspective on ADHD?
Well, I mean, something that completely changed my perspective on ADHD is that, you know, we're just all like, we're all just people and we're all learning, everybody's learning, everybody has their unique experiences, but I think the thing that stays with me the most is that you're not alone in this experience. And you're not alone with having these struggles, and you, like, there's always an outlet and there's always something that, there's always something there to help you.
And on a more positive note, what is the most unexpected or kind of funny moment that you've experienced when learning something new or kind of when explaining to someone what you're dealing with?
Okay, well, I mean, I think a funny experience is explaining to, like, my grandparents that I have ADHD.
Yeah. Do they know what that is?
Yeah, I think old school, like people, especially, like, my grandparents are immigrants, they don't really, like understand what these, like, new terms could be, even though, like, ADHD has been around forever, and, like, people have always been diagnosed with it for, like, a long time.
But, and if not ADHD, ADD.
Yes, definitely. And just, like, or, like, learning disabilities in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, telling my, like, my grandfather, like, my nono, he definitely, like, had, like, a very fun reaction. He was like, "What is ADHD?" in his accent. So, like, I think that is, like, a highlight of one of the funniest moments. Also, another moment was maybe, like, finding out when I had ADHD. Like, I was like, oh my god.
It's probably a relief to know that all these years of, like, struggling with learning has an answer.
Yes, definitely. I couldn't agree more with that statement. Like, when I found out I had ADHD, like, I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. But when I found out I had ADHD, I kind of was like, what even is this? Like, why would I get diagnosed with this? And, like, it was just, like, a funny joke I had running with my sisters until I actually had to go to the doctor and get diagnosed with it. Then it became a little more serious. But, like, I take it lightly.
All right. So now it's time for a fun segment I like to call Fact or False.
Okay.
Breaking ADHD stigmas.
Okay.
So
I'm ready.
Fact or false. Medication is the only effective treatment for ADHD.
This is definitely false. I know I have had medication and I don't take medication anymore. I've been given the prescription for medication. I was given, like, a high dosage, and my parents aren't necessarily for medication, and I think medication can be very helpful and can be, like such a aid to people, like, for, like, behavior, like behavioral therapy, I guess you could say, and, like, lifestyle changes. But I think different support systems and different tactics and techniques and strategies can ultimately help you before you start to take medication.
Everyone with ADHD is hyperactive and cannot sit still.
I wouldn't say everybody. I mean, in some instances, yes. Like, I know I have been, like basically jumping to get out of my chair, like, in a, like, when I know there's something more exciting to look forward to when I'm in a class. Like, there's definitely instances where, like, that, but that's another reason why ADHD goes undiagnosed for many years, or, like, in a person, like, childhood or, like, in their life, because there's not that many, like, defining, like, that, like, symptoms. Like, that's, like, yes, that's a defining symptom of ADHD, like, when people get diagnosed, but
it's not as exaggerated. Like, no. I have to say, the education that we do get of ADHD is, like, people are, like, jumping off walls and people are running and they can't focus.
They're constantly tapping their shoes.
Yeah, like, that they're fidgeting and all those things loud. Might be true.
Yeah.
But, like you said, like, it's never that obvious and no. It's never that in your face.
Like, I'm definitely a more shy, reserved mm-hmm. individual, and the common stereotype of ADHD is that you're loud, you interrupt people.
Yeah.
You, like, you are bursting of energy. I might be bursting of energy, but, like,
that can delay, like, the diagnosis so much
yes.
farther, because you're like, although I have struggles with focusing, I'm not bouncing off walls, so I must not have ADHD, but that's
exactly.
not necessarily true.
Yeah, that's so true. I agree.
And do you think that was an issue that you experienced when you were diagnosed in grade 8, that you felt like, maybe I don't have ADHD because I'm not expressing these exaggerated symptoms?
Most definitely. Like, that was something I considered, and my mom considered as well, when we went to, like, the pediatrician and, like, the... Mm-hmm. like the doctor to get diagnosed. Yeah, I was like, how do I have ADHD when, like, I'm not how, like, this person I know with ADHD acts, like, you know, I'm not like
yeah.
them. But ADHD is really different in everybody, and, like, the symptoms vary, and yeah, like, my ADHD is gonna be very different from the next person, and, like, the next
exactly.
person's gonna be very different from the other. So yeah, definitely.
Okay, fact or false? Individuals with ADHD often have difficulty with time management organization.
That is definitely a fact. I can say firsthand, primary source right here, that I struggle immensely with my time management, and
mm-hmm.
it is a, like, ongoing struggle. I still struggle with it today. I know I have an assignment due tomorrow that is still undone. Like,
yeah.
that is something that, like, is always gonna, like, not always, but it's something that a lot of people with ADHD struggle with. And it's just, for me personally, I procrastinate because I have a fear of, like, failure, and I have a fear that I'm not going to be able to do the best I can. So I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off, and then boom, I'm here. It's due the next day.
Yeah.
It was due this morning. It's still not done. And, like, it's just, it's like the fear that holds you back, and it's like this self-hatred almost. Like, for instance,
yeah.
I just had a conversation with my teacher the other day for an assignment that was due, and I've yet to complete it, and
yes.
I've changed my topic 3 times, I've, like, struggled with, I don't know where to find data, and I think it just stems from the fact that, like, I know this is a large assessment, I know it's worth a lot of my grade, and I know that I want to do the best I possibly can, but, like, I'm scared that, like,
right.
I don't know where to start, so... Yeah.
You think if you don't think you're going to do it well, you don't want to do it at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think something that I remember I said to you, I think it hit home,
mm-hmm.
was that if you were lazy, like, you might think that in situations where you're self-doubting and you're being really hard on yourself, and
yes.
you think, I'm so lazy because I'm procrastinating. But if you really were lazy, you wouldn't feel so much guilt and so much stress
yes.
for when you're procrastinating, because really, if you were so carefree about the situation, it wouldn't be consuming you, and you wouldn't be, like, overly stressed. Even when you're trying to relax and, say, watch a show or something, it wouldn't be, like, a main topic on your mind.
Yeah.
And I think that literally just comes from, like you said, that fear of failure.
Yeah, I think that literally sums it up. When I do procrastinate and I do, like, put my assessments and assignments off, that guilt, like, literally takes over me, and
mm-hmm.
it consumes me, and there's nothing else I think about. Like, although I might be on my phone, it's really just a distraction, because
yeah,
I'm, like, one moment away from having a mental breakdown, and
yeah.
that I'm gonna fail, and that I'm ruining my whole education, I'm ruining my whole, like
yeah.
career, basically. And yeah, it's an over-exaggeration, yeah, it's, like, a lot to think about as a 17-year-old girl just in grade 12, but
it's true.
It's true, and it's something
yeah.
that, like, I know I deal with, like, very often. I'm dealing with it right now, and it's honestly just, like, you have to work with yourself, and you have to work with what you have, and learn those strategies, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, and I think this is really important for listeners too, whether you have a learning disability or not, that you're not lazy just because you're not completing a
exactly.
task that's given to you. There's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety that comes
mm-hmm.
with doing tasks, and I think a really important skill or a really important strategy is breaking up the task into smaller ones, so it's not, like, a hefty, big task that's due in 2 weeks that you know is massive,
mm-hmm.
whereas it's finishing maybe even a paragraph by tonight, and then, you know, giving yourself a reward for doing that, and then like, sooner you know, the task is complete.
Exactly.
And you finish it.
Exactly.
It's easy to say, and it's easy to, I don't know, advise, but it's a really important strategy that even I have adopted without learning disability. And now let's move into our final segment, Confessions, where we share real struggles from listeners and help to create solutions.
Ooh, I'm excited. Okay.
I get easily distracted while studying, especially when I'm at home. It's like every little thing pulls my attention away, whether it's my phone buzzing or something happening outside, and I find it hard to concentrate, and my study sessions end up being unproductive as a result.
Okay, so I think that's the most relatable thing I've ever heard.
Definitely.
I definitely experienced that too.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm literally experiencing that right now. Mm-hmm. My procrastination has been getting the best of me lately. For example, I have a history IA to do tomorrow, which is a pretty large assignment. Since I am in grade 12, this assignment, our IAs in DP2 are being sent off to the IB. So the pressure of them being really good and like perfect is like high, mm-hmm. and I definitely have been feeling it lately. So I've been putting this off for a long time, and pretty much everybody else in my class, we have this like big group chat where we all like say like, oh, hey guys, like what's up? Like, mm-hmm. how are you doing in your progress? And pretty much nobody is nowhere near done, and it's due tomorrow. So I think I only have my thesis and a few resources and research done, and I'm pretty sure everybody else is in the same position as me. And it's really hard to like get those distractions and like put them away, lock them in a box. Like putting my phone away has to be like a pretty hard thing to do. Like, yes, it's easy. I'm gonna put my phone in a drawer in the next room, but oh my god, is my friend texting me right now? Mm-hmm. Oh, what did this influencer post on TikTok? It like consumes you, and mm-hmm. my phone, much like every other teenager in this world, it really does like
it's take, a big distraction.
Yeah, it takes up like majority of your time, and I like really hate it, and it's something that like I think is a negative source. And definitely affects my attention and affects like my like way of going about my homework and like my time efficiency and my like just like my overall like time management. But mm-hmm. in this case, I would really suggest, yeah, put your phone in another room, turn off all notifications. It's mm-hmm. hard though. It's way easier said than done. Yeah. And you know what? Reward yourself after writing one paragraph or coming up with a PL structure format for one paragraph.
The simple things.
Yeah, simple things. Work on simple things and then go reward yourself with looking at a TikTok or go watching 10 minutes of your favorite show. But I think it's something that goes really unnoticed when doing assignments and writing an essay or like doing a history IA, for example, is starting. I think starting is probably the hardest thing to do for me personally. And yeah, it sounds like, okay, Dion, just start it, write a sentence. Yeah, sure, I can write a sentence, but am I gonna fully like immerse myself and throw myself into this assignment? No, because I'm scared of, like I said before, the failure of not being able to do it like to the best of my ability. So starting it really like is a big struggle, and I know that's a big struggle for other people. So making sure you simplify it make it smaller, make the task smaller, chunk it up is the most important thing to do. Mm-hmm. So whether that's just outlining the PL structure of a paragraph or finding a resource and writing just like 10 bullet points on it, just start that, you know, just get it out of the way so that you don't have to do it later. And it's like, it's this one small thing that gets you like a little bit over the hill. Like I visualize an assignment or an assessment like as a hill, and doing that simple like 30 minute 20 minute thing gets you farther than just not doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. So
what Daniela was talking about, and that you might hear all the time, is just start. And although starting is the hardest part of completing a task, after starting it's probably the easiest point of completing that task, is because
exactly.
once you start and you don't have a phone and you're really in that groove, you can't stop. Yeah, and you're in the flow. So yeah, starting is extremely hard, but just think about it. Right when you start, you will be able to complete it. And that's such a relieving, good feeling, is when you're you know, doing a task, you know you're in the flow, and you know at some point in that day you're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, adding on to what you said about the group chat, just the fact that you and your peers in history have that group chat just emphasizes how there's so many people in your community that experience the same thing as you, and sharing these things, like this podcast right now, talking to your peers about it and just really being vulnerable and saying, listen, I haven't gotten this done, because you know how many times you might be thinking, I'm the only one who procrastinated this assignment that's doing it the night before.
Yeah.
You're not the only one. And there's so many other people in your community
and
that...
it's discouraging, sorry.
Yeah, there's so many other people in your community that have also experienced the same thing as you, that also are procrastinating a task.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a group chat, having that space where you can connect with your peers and share your similar experiences is really helpful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And,
okay,
yeah.
The next confession is, I have been diagnosed with ADHD, and it feels like my friends just don't understand, and they don't get why I can't just focus like everyone else, and it makes me feel really isolated and unsupported.
Okay, so, that again is relatable and very, like, is much more common than you would think it is. So, I know with my experiences, yeah, some friends have not understood what it is, and they don't get, like, okay, you have ADHD, what is that? Like, you must be, like you must be slower, like, I don't know. Like, they don't see it
yeah.
as anything, and they just overly simplify it in their head as something that makes you different from them and from other people. But at the end of the day, maybe having a conversation with them, talking to them about it, and saying, hey, you are my friend, I respect you, I appreciate you, and I want to continue this friendship, but I don't appreciate, like, this remarks, and, like, maybe, you know, educating your friends and telling them exactly what it is might be helpful, and showing them this, like, more vulnerable side of you, you know? But, again, if this persists, I would say, you know, maybe lean on peers and friends that are more supportive and understand where you're coming from rather than peers that don't get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think marginalization can be felt anywhere, and it can be experienced with your close friends and also people that you don't know, like you said, that peer from your class, and it can also be experienced online, it can be experienced in larger communities, it can be experienced anywhere. And I think that that's a really big issue that I am targeting in the educational system and through learning and
yeah.
things like that, but it's experienced in any realm of life, and it's a really important issue.
Definitely.
Okay. The next confession is, despite studying hard, I often feel like I don't perform well on tasks, and I get really anxious when I see the questions, and my mind goes blank, especially during really high-stress test situations.
Okay. Yeah, so from my personal experience, I know I'm relating these all to my personal experience, but I truly do relate to all these confessionals. Mm-hmm. I know for me, studying is a hard thing to do. It's really hard to just sit down and review material for hours and hours and hours. Like, that is something that, like, oh my god, like, I rather watch, like, I think 5 seasons of a TV show than do that. And yeah, that's a bad thing to say, but it's the truth, and it's the truth for a lot of other people in school and high school and even university. So what I think is the most beneficial thing to do, and what I have been starting to do, because I just recently learned this, is that take that time to just review your material, maybe like for 20 minutes per day. Just look at your French notes, look at your history notes, maybe just really quickly right after class, or maybe like for 30 minutes after school, on your drive home, wherever you are. It really doesn't take doesn't take that much, and I don't think it's needs to be such a high stress situation where you need to devote 5 hours to studying just this thing. Unless you are studying for the night before, then I understand that you need to devote your time and it's high stress, but it really is beneficial to just devote those 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day, like 3 weeks before your test, to just reviewing the material, because the more you know and the more, like, you just see it, the more you'll memorize it. And it's like, you don't realize it, but you, in the end, you'll be like, oh wait, I actually do know this.
Mm-hmm.
And spending 10, 20 minutes on it, like per day, 15, 5 minutes even, will actually get you much farther.
And cramming
the night before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done it. I know a handful of people that have crammed
the
night before.
I've definitely done it.
Yeah, it's not the most enjoyable thing ever. Drinking 5 espressos the night before a test or an exam is not enjoyable. But
Yeah, I mean, I've done that, and I had, I don't know what I would classify it as, but it was definitely a very stressful situation. I was shaking. I was very, like, hyper. I couldn't really focus, and I had an
No.
exam the next day, and it was really stressful. And I
Yeah.
think that my take on this is that, let's say for math, it's a known fact that you can't memorize math. You have to understand it.
Exactly.
And the only way to do that is practicing. I used to think that if I could just memorize the formulas, if I could cram the night before, it's not like a science. It's not biology. You can't
No.
just cram it because that actually works. Sometimes some people cram it and they get the best results because it's short-term memory. But
Yeah.
math, it doesn't work like that. And I actually have a math test or quiz this Friday. And I've learned that just through every class, not even after school, my teacher gives me and all my peers time in class to do examples and ask him for help. And that's like my 30 minutes of time practicing every day.
Yeah.
And then I actually understand. Math is all about practice. And I think just the statement that it takes 10,000 hours to perfect something is really important because it emphasizes the fact that you can't cram 10,000 hours in a day.
No.
Certainly can't do it in a week.
No.
It takes a really long time to do it. And that just goes to show that only to perfect something, you have to do a little by little every day for a
Yeah.
really long time. And that's how you can get really good at something.
That's so true. It's basically like you're building the foundation of a house. Like you can't build a house without the wood skeleton. Like you know what I mean? Like you can't build a house without having the cement foundation in the soil first. You
And
can't
that
build a
takes
house without the
time.
basement. Yeah, like you
Rome
know.
wasn't built in a day.
Exactly. Rome was not built in a day. That's a good quote.
Thank you. There's a lot of quotes that, like, there's so many things that you can just take apart. Like, it doesn't have to be this stressful. I'm sure the inventors of school didn't intend for it to be a very
Yes.
stressful, high stress situation. If you just do a task little by little every day, it adds up and you get it done. And
Yeah.
I think that procrastination and learning disabilities make that extremely hard because you don't think to yourself, I have a task to do in a month. I'm going to start now. I think that's the last thing that you think.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to do the thing that's due tomorrow and do tomorrow and do tomorrow. And it's a never ending cycle. And then you get to the task that was due in a month and it's due tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's like, I
So
think
true.
that is so relatable on so many levels for so many people. And so just relieving the stress of that you cannot fail if you're dividing tasks into little portions, because if you're doing a sentence, you can't fail at a sentence.
No.
So doing a little by little and just helping yourself help yourself.
Exactly. And I think it's like, okay, yeah, I'll start it right now. Like that's a big thing. That's what the teachers always say. Like I know all my teachers have said, start it right now. I'm giving you 20 minutes till the end of class. Start it now. And you're like, no, I'd rather just talk with my friends. I think taking those 20 minutes, that 20 minutes, and just making like even an outline, like a rough outline, will do you so much like justice and benefit you so much. It's like crazy how much it will benefit you. Because then you can be like, oh wait, I don't understand how to write this introduction. I should write an outline and I should ask my teacher how, if this outline makes sense, you know?
Yeah, because
Yeah.
one thing about cramming the night before is that you can't ask for feedback.
Exactly. You cannot ask for
And
feedback right
even
before.
sometimes I think that even if you started a week before, that's much better than starting the night before. And if you're embarrassed to ask for feedback because you think you started too late, you really shouldn't be, because the people around you, even if they don't specialize in strategies for learning like our school fortunately does, the
Yeah.
people around you are there to help you. And even if they're not professionals, even your friends, if you just confide in them and ask for advice, that's what they're there for in this world, and that's what they're wanting to do. I think everyone, unless, you know, I don't think if you're the nicest person in the world, you might not want to help people, but people that are nice want to help you. So don't never feel embarrassed to come for them for help, because everyone has
No.
problems.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so to wrap things up, let's highlight some inspiring figures who've broken down learning disability stigmas. And this is our segment, Empower Hour, where we
Ooh.
recognize people who overcome ADHD challenges in for you, especially
Yes.
for you, to achieve incredible things. So in under 60 seconds, please name a few individuals that you admire for their work in breaking down barriers for
Okay, the clock is
ADHD.
ticking. Okay.
Okay, wait, let me start the clock.
Okay. I'm
Give me a sec.
starting to sweat.
Okay.
The names are rushing through my mind. Okay.
Hope you know those
I hope
names.
I do too.
Okay,
Hope nobody goes unmentioned.
let's start.
I
Now, whoever doesn't get mentioned, don't stress.
dearly love you, don't you worry.
Yes. Okay, one, two, three, go.
Okay, I think the first person that I think deserves the gold medal is the first ever learning strategist I ever had, Miss McLean. That woman yes. is my savior, and I don't think I would be where I am today without her. She has witnessed countless mental breakdowns, countless, like, yeah. everything, and she has helped me through it all. And I think that, like, is just a show, like, just, like, a demonstration of who she is as, like, a figure and, like, how much she's helped me. She's helped me learn strategies.
30 seconds.
Anyways, moving on to, like a famous figure, I would definitely say somebody that I listen to their podcast sometimes is Mel Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
She has talked about her 5-second method where she often refers to the example, oh my god, the time! She often refers to the example that one day she didn't want to get out of bed and she just counted to 5 and she got up.
Mm-hmm.
And that strategy I have applied to my life. Like, if I don't want to do something, I'll get up and I'll be like, 1, 2, 3, start.
It's funny that you said 1, 2, 3 when I got down. So Mel Robbins and Miss McLean. And now I'm going to give you some mercy. Is there anyone else you would like to mention that you couldn't get?
Definitely my new learning strategist, Miss Kresge. Mm-hmm. Definitely she doesn't go unnoticed. She has helped me a lot this year already. And it's only been 3 months into the school year. So
yeah.
I like am so grateful for that. And I think without like not to forget all my teachers, I think my teachers have definitely helped me stay grounded and helped me like just navigate like my what works for me and what I need and what help I need. And I think also myself, because you know what, mm-hmm. over the years I've learned more about ADHD and I've learned like what actually like do I need, what works for me. And I learned that I shouldn't just stray away, hide, miss school, like hide from my teachers, avoid the deadlines and just attack it head on. And something that like has really worked for me is when I don't understand, I'm going to go straight to the source, go straight yeah. to the teacher, ask for help, ask for the breakdown, ask the questions, because you know what? No question is stupid. No question is wrong. And even if the question, your answer is wrong, no question is like stupid. Every question exactly. is valid. Like, you know what I mean? So.
And I think that sometimes teachers might understand more than you think, and maybe they even have a learning disability themselves. So
exactly.
it's never embarrassing, it's never stupid.
Exactly. I know a few of my teachers that have learning disabilities, and they have been courageous and brave enough to open up about it as well. Like
yeah.
my French teacher, I know she's opened up about it, and when I see that as very admirable, and I see that as like a great example, and I'm so grateful that I have these examples in like my life, and not just
yeah.
like people my age, but also elders as well.
Yeah, and I think just overall, if I'm going to summarize this entire episode, just being more open about these learning disabilities, sharing your experiences can go so far that you don't even realize the mm-hmm. impact that you might think you're small, you might think that you don't have an impact, you're local, but really just sharing your experiences, sharing the experiences mm-hmm. you've seen from other
yes.
people and combating this marginalization that is seen everywhere can really help, because we're lucky enough that in our school it's a really open topic,
mm-hmm.
but even then there's still some areas for improvement.
Exactly.
And there's teachers that talk about it, and for that we're very grateful. I can name a few. And our entire learning strategist team, I mean, even when I walk into the student center, it's a very welcoming, quiet,
yes,
just helpful environment. When
yes,
I write
very
tests
safe.
There, yes, like I'm just very calm, and it's a very nice environment, and I think that even I'm really grateful for it as a support system.
Yeah.
Even if I don't have a key diagnosis, I could say if I'm stressed out, I'm stressed out. You know what I mean?
100%.
And I think that the availability of teachers that specialize in that field is really helpful. And
yes.
to wrap things up, thank you for joining us today, Daniela, on Brains Not Barriers.
Thank you. I'm so grateful that I have, like, that I got this experience, and I couldn't be more appreciative to you for inviting me. This is definitely so, like, this is exactly what I'm all for. Like, I am
mm-hmm.
so glad that there's people out there that, like, want to learn about this, and, like, I'm glad that you are taking the initiative to just educate people and let people
Thank
understand,
you.
Like, and grow and learn about ADHD, because you know what? Everybody deserves to be educated, and everybody deserves to know that they're not alone, and that this
yeah.
is really not something to be scared of, but rather to
mm-hmm.
just, like, own it and be, like, proud of yourself no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if this episode could teach you anything, it's that you're not alone. And through Brains Not Barriers, not even the podcast, but overall the organization, can really help these marginalized communities feel supported. Until next time, keep learning and stay curious. Bye!
Bye!